Hello and welcome to Are You Well? In this series of shows, I am sharing with you the wisdom of Ayurveda, traditional Indian system of health which has been in practice for more than 5,000 years. Not only has it been in practice for more than 5,000 years, it's been systematically codified and documented in the form of ancient medical textbooks in the language Sanskrit. And it is fascinating to see many of the concepts which have been described, discussed, several as conference reviews from thousands of years ago still apply or applicable to our modern day life. We have in the past episodes looked at the importance of gut health, the importance of nutrition, spices, how we can use spices therapeutically, and how we can actually modify, refine our everyday lifestyle to stay healthy and well. And today I'm going to be sharing with you the perspectives of Ayurveda on a very important activity, which is physical activity or exercise. No doubt that many of us are completely aware that in our modern day life, which seems to be very sedentary due to gadgets, due to many machinery that help us move things, lift things, and makes our lives much more comfortable and convenient than what possibly was the lifestyle of people who lived before us, even 300 years ago. And as a result, our bodies have less demand on them. Our minds have greater demand, which creates an imbalance, therefore really needing us to take active exercise in order to keep our body in its optimal functioning level. Obviously, exercise is not something that everyone likes. For instance, I really like exercising and I always have liked exercising. However, sometimes liking exercising, having a passion, doesn't mean that one can do it because of lack of time, because of tiredness, because if our day is so much filled with mental activity that it becomes difficult to find that right mood to exercise. But interestingly, when you do exercise, your mood improves. So it's a catch-22, is finding time to exercise, to enjoy the benefits of exercising, and finding the motivation to exercise, especially when you are not naturally motivated or because you're feeling tired, you are mentally stressed. Let us really look at the difference between exercise and physical activity. In fact, from an Ayurvedic perspective, both exercise and staying physically active have been discussed thousands of years ago. So do we now in health research talk about exercise and physical activity. I'm going to be sharing with you the amazing benefits of non-exercise related physical activity, what is considered NEAT, NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. What this really means is that exercise creates thermogenesis, it creates heat. So because when we are exercising or when we are physically active, our body needs to create energy, create heat, we will be spending stored calories, or we will be spending our energy Therefore, we will be able to manage a good balance between the calories that we store by eating and the calories that are spent by being physically active. And this non-exercise activity thermogenesis, thermo is heat, genesis is to generate, need, has been a key topic which has been considered in research nowadays to see how, even if you're exercising intensely, if you are not engaged in regular physical activity on a daily basis, we may not reap the complete benefit of exercise. Therefore, it's even more important to be physically active alongside taking exercise as a separate activity. From an Ayurvedic perspective, where they describe daily routine, which in Ayurveda is called Dinacharya. Dina is daily, Charya is routine. And one of the important aspects of daily routine in Ayurveda or Dinacharya is exercise, which in Sanskrit is called Vyayama. And you might think, okay, because Ayurveda and yoga are related to each other, does Ayurveda only recommend yoga as a form of activity? Absolutely not. If you are really thinking about the Indian subcontinent, there are multiple systems alongside yoga which require one to be physically very active. For instance, martial arts. So in southern India, there is Kalaripayattu, which is a very rigorous and intense form of martial arts. There are different martial arts all around the Indian subcontinent. And there are these desi gyms where they use these various equipment which is made of wood and ropes, and it's much like a functional exercise or you know, where using body weight and also using certain equipment, you know, like you possibly can think of kettlebell or TRX and many other bands, resistant bands. So there are many forms of exercise which are intertwined within the culture of Indian subcontinent for centuries. Yoga is popular, but yoga asana is very popular. And of course, yoga asana, the physical aspects of yoga, has become a popular form of physical activity. Although it's not strictly physical activity because it's much like martial arts, it needs your body and mind, the attention of both and a degree of calmness to be able to do it and also to reap the benefits of it. So we are really talking about exercise, vyayama, as any other exercise that we can think of today. And what Ayurveda says is that we need to exercise to half of our capacity. Half the capacity is a very interesting question. Half the capacity or half of my motivation. Often what I think is that most of us think, yeah, if you're not motivated, we think, oh, I don't have the motivation, therefore I may not have the capacity to exercise. But sometimes when you are very motivated, when you are very passionate about exercise, you may not notice what your half capacity, and you might exceed your half capacity. Today we know through research that over exercising actually is not very good. One of the key benefits of appropriate exercising is it creates that anti-inflammatory effect, whereas over-exercising can result in inflammation. Surely, when you haven't exercised for some time, or if you're not somebody who exercises regularly, and then you go on a hike for about, let's say, 8 miles, you do know how you feel the next day. Whereas somebody who does this on a regular basis will not have the same aches and pains or tiredness, even if they are of the same age, same body weight, or sometimes even if they're much older, if they have practice of hiking, doing cycling for long distances, or even going for jogging for, let's say, 8 kilometers or 10 kilometers. And compared to them, someone who is younger, who hasn't exercised, doesn't take regular exercise, despite having the physical capacity, will still have all these body aches and pains. Obviously, a part of it is the body is trying to adapt and recover. But what we need to really focus on is that our heart capacity continuously increases. Our level of fitness keeps increasing. Therefore, to recognize our heart capacity from when we start exercising and to notice how what might have been my heart capacity 6 months ago would have been my quarter capacity after 6 months. So our fitness level keeps increasing and our heart capacity keeps increasing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
And Ayurveda says that you need to watch for your heart capacity. Obviously, you know, when we look at these ancient systems of health, where there is a lot of wisdom, and when there was no way to measure what is the right physiological response or the appropriate physiological response through measurements like heart rate or your breathing or through any other objective measurements, heart capacity is a good advice. But then now we would need to ask, how would we translate that heart capacity in our own language? So the way how we can translate that heart capacity for today, like in our language, is really through heart rate. And in fact, if your heart rate, let's say, is 57 or 60, which is your resting heart rate, and you're fairly healthy, let's say you're not diabetic, you don't have any such conditions as arthritis or anything that limits your mobility, or let's say you're not asthmatic. So we're considering a healthy adult in their 30s or 40s or even 50s who are around, let's say, 75 kgs body weight and fairly fit. The heart rate, which is at resting at about 60, if they can take it up to 140 or even 150 beats per minute, that would be really like reaching the peak capacity. But the key thing is also when doing a certain activity. For instance, let's say I start jogging or I start basically, let's say sprinting, a high intensity interval training. Usually if I'm sprinting, my heart rate will go up from 57 to 140 or even 150. But it's very important that I don't stay at 150 for longer, that I sprint for about a minute and then I will slow down so that my heart rate doesn't come back to my resting heart rate, but it's still above 110 or even 115 by either jogging or by slowing down my pace of running. And again, when it has stayed that way for about 30 seconds or 45 seconds, I again would pick up my speed and sprint. So I bring it back to 140 or 140 plus. So by constantly keeping a watch on how your heart rate goes high to it peaks, and then you bring it down, and again, you take your heart rate to a peak. And if you can do this, let's say for about 15 minutes, that's a very good set of high intensity interval training, which gives your body to challenge itself, to take your heart rate to the peak, starts to burn fat, starts to engage the muscles and all the tissues which are involved in activity, and you kind of sweat if you're really doing it outdoors when it is not too cold or when the temperature is warm, and gives you that kind of nice sensation of having exercised. And this kind of exercise is really moderate to intense exercising. And I think especially as we get older, as in, let's say every decade from the age of 25, our metabolic rate goes down. It goes down by about approximately 2%. So I realized that the amount of exercise that I needed to bring about a change in my body shape in my 20s is not the same or is not going to be effective in my 40s. I perhaps am doing much more physical exercise than I did in my 20s, and yet the change in my body shape or ability to burn fat or mobilize fat resources is diminished compared to in my 20s because of the lack of certain hormones, particularly a decline in growth hormone, a decline in metabolic rate. So in order to maintain good metabolic rate as we get older, let's say 30s, 40s, 50s, we would need to actually devise our exercise in such a way that we get more and more physical activity throughout the day alongside our active exercising. So that's where NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, comes into play. So yes, going back to high intensity interval training, you could devise high intensity interval training in many simple ways. You know, just get a skipping rope, and then if you skip like 100 times and your heart rate goes up, then just keep walking a little bit or moving for another 30 seconds and again skip. So like if you do this for about 10 to 15 minutes, and if you can maintain such a routine for about 4 to 5 days a week, you already are really giving your body the best opportunity to stay fit, for your heart to become fitter, and for your respiration and breathing to get better. A lot of the times what happens is when we are much younger, we focus so much on, not all of us, many just focus on aesthetic fitness, which is about body shape. And while when we are younger and we actually can achieve the body shape that we want, because of hormonal support, because of age, because of high metabolic rate, and also the muscles, they tend to respond faster. Although I must say that the response of muscles to strength training or resistance training or weight training pretty much remains the same for most of our life. Yes, you know, it doesn't decline too much compared to our metabolic rate. Just bulking up the muscles is not going to give us the best benefit in terms of our cardiac health. So it's so important to combine cardiac exercise or cardio exercise with anaerobic exercises. So in aerobic exercise, you are using oxygen. Therefore, you really are stimulating your respiratory system. Your heart rate goes up, which has a particular benefit, which is so different to anaerobic exercises like lifting weights. And while lifting weights is important, or strength training is also important, because we need both aerobic capacity to increase and also for building more, or not building, but having more muscles or good amount of muscles in comparison to fat. Because as we get older, even if our weight remains the same, for instance, let me say, if in someone's 30s, the weight is 75 kgs, and in their 40s, their weight still is 75 kgs, and in their 50s, this weight is 75 kgs, doesn't mean that the body composition has remained the same. Often, if you are not exercising regularly, then at the same weight, our body composition changes. Usually, if you're not exercising regularly, then let's say in our 50s, if my body weight, let's say, remains at 75, which might have been my body weight when I was in my 30s, in 50s, there will be greater amount of fat compared to the muscle mass. So as that's why, you know, BMI or body mass index is not such a great indicator. It is a good indicator if we are looking at obesity and also excess weight, as in above 25 BMI, above 30 is obesity. There it acts as a good indicator, but in most instances, when one may not be obese or needing to focus on obesity, BMI doesn't really serve as a very good screening parameter. And as our fat percentage could be greater than our muscle, even at the same weight, but it's very important to actually not let too much of our muscles being replaced with fat, because fat does not really generate heat, whereas muscles do. So fat does the opposite of what we want, is really it stores energy instead of actually burning energy. Whereas by building muscles through weight training, through resistance training, one doesn't need to go to the gym to do weight training, but you can do lots of functional exercises. For example, you know, jumping, climbing up the stairs, doing push-ups in the park or at home, squats, doing weight bearing exercises, like some forms of strengthening yoga postures, and even functional activity like Pilates. So there are so many different activities that one can do in order to challenge the muscles and for muscles to become stronger. Many times it's even very interesting to see that some might really look good in terms of their body shape with good muscles, good definition, but they may not have the strength. So we must really understand that there's a difference between shape, strength, and our fitness. And in any balanced way of living, we need to try and work towards all of them and not just focus on just one aspect of it. So a holistic approach towards exercise becomes important. And this is where I think the Ayurvedic wisdom of saying do not exceed your half capacity also means that work up to your half capacity every time you are working towards half your capacity to ensure that you are exercising give your body the best opportunity. Also, when you are just considering your own capacity, you're not going to overdo it, you're not going to underdo it. You know, I like this saying when I go to my gym, where on the blackboard it is written, look in the mirror, that's your competition. I think that's a fantastic statement, because the real competition is really ourselves. We need to compete with ourselves to get better every time. And in Ayurveda, what they say is exercise, and after exercise, if you apply oil, particularly cured sesame oil, in my practice, I use from my clinic a specific oil, which is an Ayurvedic oil prepared with good antioxidant adaptogenic herbs and essential oils, which not only gives that nice smell when you apply it, but also moisturizes and helps in detoxing the skin. So because when we exercise, we naturally activate the detoxification pathways, particularly of our skin, which is the largest detoxifying organ. And after exercising, if you really apply Ayurvedic oil or even just cured sesame oil, and you have to warm it up a bit, and then you have to start applying it from your scalp, move your fingers on the scalp skin. Often, you know, because of excess computer work, our skin on our scalp, it actually becomes quite tight. And then so to really increase the circulation of the scalp, to really apply this oil properly, you don't need too much. You probably need about a teaspoon or maximum 2 teaspoons. It's literally a few drops of oils, and then you start applying it to your scalp. And then you run your fingers on your scalp. It's very invigorating. And then run your fingers on your forehead, the bridge of your nose, around your eye sockets, and your chin, your cheeks, your lips, your earlobes, behind your ears, the neck, the top of your chest, your arms, long strokes along your arm and circular strokes along the joints, then your abdomen, your hips, buttocks, different sides of the thighs, the knees, and your calf muscle, the shin, and your ankles, your feet. You see, like by spending time rubbing oil to all of your body, you already are engaging in a form of physical activity. So, I mean, this is ideally to be done after exercise. You apply this warm oil and then have a warm shower. And having this warm shower, after applying this oil, you can stay for about 5 minutes if you have time. Most of the times, I would just apply oil all over my body and then rub it. By the time that I've finished it already, from the time that I'll have started, it will be 5 or 10 minutes. And you can see that the skin would be looking somewhat moist, but not too oily. But then I go and have shower. You feel very refreshed. Your skin will start to glow. There is good amount of moisture. It corrects any imbalances in the skin pigmentation. And neurologically, you feel very, very relaxed. I mean, surely one of the benefits of exercising is exercise releases these endorphins. These endorphins are happy hormones. And also, interestingly, if you exercise regularly, if you build your strength, then that your ability to respond to pain stimulus is also going to be markedly different. You know, like how those who don't exercise regularly, if they hit themselves against some hard surface or some hard object, it bruises and then it causes pain. And also, those who don't exercise regularly, when they go on hiking or for long distance walking or even, you know, jogging or some form of exercise which they do occasionally, the pain response will be so intense. But if you exercise regularly, then your brain will understand how to increase these pain inhibiting hormones or neurotransmitters like serotonin, which we all know is a happy hormone, and natural opioids that we have in our body. And so it reduces our tendency to experience intense pain, but also it gives the ability to sense appropriate pain. So it's very interesting how, like, even in such conditions of fibromyalgia, where my patients, they really have this exaggerated response to pain sensation, like there are trigger points. If you just press your thumb on their biceps or forearm or a calf or thighs, they just kind of wince in pain, because the sensitivity towards pain would have become inappropriate, exaggerated. So to reduce that kind of inappropriate sensitivity to pain, to increase the production of endorphins, to increase the production of natural opioids, to increase the production of serotonin, exercise is very helpful. Often those who exercise regularly can stay more positive, they can stay more calmer, they can be more optimistic, and there are many emotional and psychological benefits by exercising. One thing I always have realized is that it might be hard before exercising to take a decision, shall I start exercising or not? Shall I go for a walk or a run or to the gym or do a fitness session or not? But you never regret having exercised anytime. Every time you exercise, of course, appropriately, you will see that at the end of the session, whether it is 30 minutes, 40 minutes, or maybe 55 minutes, that you feel fantastic after having exercised. I haven't seen anybody who exercises regularly saying that they actually feel worse after exercising. They usually feel fantastic, because that's all the happy hormones that exercise produces.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So exercise is not just about vanity. It is really about keeping our body at its optimal level, because we are designed to move. Human body is designed and has evolved to move because our real challenge or need to say so as we were evolving is to be able to hunt for food or gather food, which meant that we really needed to traverse across quite difficult terrains to get our daily meal. Now, of course, we don't. We just need to go to the supermarket, or we just need to order online and then get food, which is also a form of gathering, but not a very healthy form of gathering compared to what our bodies have been designed to do. So we can't ignore the need for our body to be active. And so developing exercise as an everyday habit is so very important. And also, you know, going back to what I was talking about in terms of when you exercise, and afterwards Ayurveda says that you need to apply oil, and then you need to have shower, like preferably warm shower that will help invigorate your skin. I mentioned cured sesame oil, and you might have the question, what is cured sesame oil? I mean, how to cure sesame oil? Okay, curing sesame oil is a simple process. See, all oils, they can go rancid if they come in contact with moisture. So it's important that also that we keep oils out of moisture. And if you're using these oils, particularly in the bathroom, where there is a lot of moisture, that the oil can go rancid. Initially, when you start using any oil, particularly sesame oil, in this instance, what you want to do is you just want to heat up the oil in a pan, but on a low heat. I mean, luckily sesame oil is heat resistant. As long as it doesn't get to the smoking point, you're fine. And then you can see that if there's any moisture, all that moisture is evaporated, and then you store it in a dry and clean glass bottle. Please don't store oils in plastic, because you know plastic is not a good way to store oils at all. It starts to react chemically, and then you are trying to make your oil toxic by using plastic bottles. So always use glass bottle, preferably a dark colored glass bottle. You can use brown colored glass bottles, which are really good. And also try and keep it in a place where there is not too much of sunshine, where there's not too much of moisture. And the other way of curing oil is you basically, for about 200 milliliters of sesame oil, you add about 50 milliliters of water intentionally. And then on a lower heat, you start heating it up. And then you wait until all the water is evaporated to make sure that there's absolutely no moisture. And that's the one that you store. You don't have to do that every day. Before you fill your bottle, you can do it. And once, you know, that is completed or finished, then for the next batch, you can again cure sesame oil. Best is to really look for cold-pressed sesame oil, as cold-pressed oils have all of the phytoconstituents. Phyto is plant constituents or these chemicals. You know, many of us do know that the active ingredient of turmeric is called curcumin. So curcumin is one of the phytoconstituents in turmeric. Similarly, every plant-based oil will have its own set of phytoconstituents. And so to get the benefit of all the phytoconstituents, it is important that you buy a cold-pressed oil. Cold-pressed oils are always far better than other oils which may have gone through lots of chemical processing. In fact, if you start using this cold-pressed oil, heat it up a little bit, apply it, especially after exercise and have shower, you can start to see the benefit. You know, you will feel that your joints are supple, your muscles are a lot more kind of strong and tensile, and you can be more agile, you feel a lot more relaxed, you'll have less aches, pains, and stiffness. And warm shower. This is an interesting concept. At the beginning, you want to have warm shower, but it's always good to end your shower with really cold water, even if it is for 3 to 4 seconds. Let's say for 3 to 5 seconds, let's say. If you have cold shower at the end of it, it really also challenges the body, and the body starts to utilize the antioxidants in them. And once the antioxidants are utilized to kind of counter this sudden cold shower, then over the next 24 hours, it starts to produce more antioxidants, particularly an antioxidant called glutathione, which is a very important and very abundantly found antioxidant that is helpful for energy conversion, for our immunity. And so there's this concept called hormesis. It's like you shock your body by exposing yourself to sudden cold temperature, and a physiological response creates more antioxidants after this incident. And so this concept of, you know, building your daily routine by choosing right foods, by exercising, by applying oil, having warm shower, ending it with a little bit of cold shower. These are the tiny aspects of our life which over a period of time are going to give us the best chance to be healthy and well. And the question is, you know, what constitutes, if you are not going to the gym, I mean, you, where possible, if you like, you can and you should. Or if you're not going to any group fitness sessions, or if you're not into sports, if you're not doing something like jogging or sprinting, high intensity interval training, how can I get other forms of physical activity? There are many. You know, you could go dancing, you can just use stairs. You know, I live on the 6th floor, and I always make it a point whenever possible to climb down the stairs and climb up the stairs, because Also, living in London, especially when you use public transport, you cover so much distance taking the underground. You go down several stairs and you climb up. You know, not every station has elevators, although most of them, but you still have this opportunity to use stairs. And then walking from the station to your work or to your home. So using every opportunity to be active. For example, if you have a car, you know, instead of parking very close to the supermarket or wherever you want to stop, if you park a little bit further away, then you get that opportunity to walk that much. And also, when you are working at your desk, every half an hour just to stand up, and every 1 hour just to move a little bit, because even these little activities of moving a little bit, standing up, they all help in adding to your non-exercise related activity thermogenesis. So gives your body the opportunity to use up energy. Because if our body does not sense a need to use energy, it just stores it. And many times you could be eating a very healthy, balanced diet. But if you're not physically active, if you're not moving much, then the body just doesn't sense any need to burn those calories. I often have found in my own practice that those of my patients who have tried very hard to lose weight by doing these extreme diets, which say you don't even have to exercise if you're on this diet, which is completely unhealthy because it is unnatural to be eating extreme diets and not moving our body. It is a balance between eating balanced food and being physically active. And when we get into that practice, we start to notice that suddenly that excess weight starts to drop. And then it carries on. Should we maintain a good level of physical activity, a good level of exercising along with healthy diets? And also, I would say that, you know, it is not so important as we once believed that you should replenish or eat within 20 minutes after exercising. Not necessary. You know, you must have healthy meals. You must have, like, let's say, two proper meals. And I discourage my patients from snacking unless they have a health condition where they need to maintain their sugar levels. It's not necessary that you need to eat straight after exercising. Of course, the whole concept of eating straight after exercising is if you're doing aesthetic fitness, because if you break your muscles down by not eating, then you need to replenish it with amino acids or proteins, which are necessary. However, for health, you know, you don't have to immediately have a shake or a drink straight after exercising. That's not necessary to stay healthy. Now, and I used to do that in the past, but no longer. I don't do like eat within 20 minutes after intense exercise. Yes, of course, I make sure that I'm well nourished, that I'm not exercising when I'm starving or having starved the previous day or having fasted. But it's not that, you know, we need to really be eating straight after exercising. We can wait. We can do other routines, you know, like applying oil, having shower, getting ready, and then have a proper meal. That's perfectly fine. When it comes to exercising, the other question that many of us will ask ourselves is how much of exercise do we need? So, well, there is a compelling link between physical activity and body's defense system. So in order to improve our immunity, not just how we feel about ourselves aesthetically or even fitness, but to improve immunity, it's important to take certain combinations of activities, to do strengthening activities that work all the major muscles, you know, like legs, hips, back, abdomen, chest, shoulders, and arms on at least 2 days a week. So if you're an adult, if you're fairly healthy, think of doing strengthening activities at least for 2 days a week. And do at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity per week, or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity activity per week. There are many sources online which gives you an indication of what is moderate intensity and what is vigorous intensity. So 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity per week is what is required by adults. And reduce time spent sitting or lying down, and break up long periods of not moving with some activity. So I think if we start to incorporate movement as an interlude between every other sedentary activity that we do, thinking, writing, sitting at the computer, we are giving our body the opportunity to really do what it is meant to do, which is to move, to be physically active. So from an Ayurvedic perspective, they say that, you know, if you become breathless, if you feel tired all day after exercising, and if you feel too sleepy during daytime, that means you have over-exercised. So that is not to say you should stop exercising, but, you know, do your exercise, which is not of that high intensity, to paying attention to your half capacity so that you can be active throughout the day. And then you'll be able to sleep very well. I mean, in fact, the best benefit of regular exercise is sleep, which is the most powerful activity to repair and to rejuvenate ourselves. So hopefully I will be talking to you about sleep and how to address sleep issues in my future episodes. And once again, thank you very much for listening to Are You Well, and hope to catch up soon in my future episodes. Thank you. Sukhina.